Genesis Christian Life Fellowship, a church committed to loving God, raising fruitful disciples, and advancing the kingdom. Enjoy this week's message.
Talk about what the fear of the Lord is not. Okay, we talked about the fact that the fear of the Lord is not when you are driving in a vehicle and you feel that sharp fear, there's going to be an accident, you feel that sharp fear. We talk about that the fear of the Lord is not a demonic fear, amen, because the Bible said he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And we talk about the fact that the fear of the Lord is not a religious fear. And we talk about what the fear of the Lord is. We said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Amen. We also define what the fear of the Lord is. Amen. And today, the title of my message is Stop Playing Games with God. Fear Him. Amen. And many a times as children of God, we play games with God. Amen. We think that we are smarter than God. Let's talk about, everybody talks about the one side of God, but nobody talks about the other side of God, the wrath of God. Everybody talks about the love of God, the favor of God, but nobody talks about the wrath of God. Amen? You know, the one thing about God or about anybody to, you know, I would know what to do to get you upset with me and not talk to me again. Amen? You know, it's like, it's very good to know a person and to know even, in fact, human. The human being. If I relate to you in a very bad way, you relate to me in a bad way. Amen? You know, so the Bible says that what? If you draw near to him, you also draw near to others. That's a principle. You know, that if whatever, you see, if you put, there's a saying that if you give somebody lime, they'll give you what? A lemonade. Amen? Amen. So there is always a principle that goes back and forth when it comes to serving God. So today what we're going to talk more about, we're going to still continue to talk about the fear of the Lord, but we're going to home in a little bit on the other side of God as well. Amen? So that we bring the balance. And how many of you know that we must talk the whole counsel of God and not just part of the counsel of God? We have believers today that everybody has got something that he is strong in and something they're not strong in, which is normal. But we must aim to be strong in every aspect of God. Amen. We must know God, a full God. Amen. If you know somebody's love, you must also know when they get angry. You must know to understand what makes them angry. What makes the person upset. To have a healthy relationship with anybody, with God as well, you must know that if I do this, it would upset you. Amen. If I do this, it would upset you. If I do this, you will love it. Is it true? And that is how we can live in relationship with the human beings, and we can also live the same way with God. We know what God likes and what God doesn't like. So it's not good to know a side of a person. You know, once I'm always looking for both sides of a person. There's always two sides. If you haven't found it yet, you will find it. Amen. It's about time. But you will find it as time goes on. Everybody has got their strengths, their likes and dislikes. Amen. So a person that has the wisdom of God and knowledge of God understands that every human being, so you shouldn't get a shock if somebody gives you a negative side. It's not a shock, it's normal. If somebody shows you another side of them that you haven't seen before, it's not a shock, because everybody has got both sides. Amen? You know, I've seen some people that I've never seen their negative side before, and that is good. Amen? Some people, yeah. I was testifying of some people I've seen. You know, I've never seen them upset. Same individuals I've never seen. I said, wow, this person. They have a powerful testimony. You know, that is very, very powerful. You know, so it's very, very important that because we haven't seen the wrath of God, some of us have never experienced it. You know, because we haven't seen the wrath of God, does not necessarily mean that God has not got that side of him. You know, do you know that God can reject a person? God can also reject a person. You know, in spite of his love, he can also reject us. If we continue to do things, he can also reject us. One of the things that I was very careful with my mom is, or any leader, is, or what I've avoided from any leader or any adult, is for them to wash their hands of me. You know, one of the things my mom says to us, when my mom is trying to rebuke us and we don't listen, and she does this, I'll leave you to your own. You can do whatever you want to do now. I'd rather she beats me. I'd rather she disciplines me. Because if somebody says, do that to you, wash your hands off you, it's a curse. If somebody says, you can do whatever you want, it's a curse. Amen? That is why we don't want to get to a place with God where God does this. Even if you don't, if you get God always disciplining you, it's sometimes a good thing. Because at least you know that what they love you. If somebody is disciplining you, it's a good thing. If your leader is disciplining you, it's a good thing. Amen? Because at least you know that they still want you what? To become a better person. But if they do this, yeah? Hear no evil. Oh, what did they say? Is it hear no evil? See no evil, hear no evil. They would what? Look at you and observe. And they will not say anything. That is a dangerous place to be in any relationship. Amen. You can see that you think you're getting away, but they've left you to God. When a person leaves you to God, that is very dangerous. That means that you're going to deal with God directly. Amen. That is just by the by. So don't be a half-hearted Christian. Before we do that, let me read Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It said, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There is a reason why Paul was saying that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Because it's very, very important that we should not take God for granted. We should take God very seriously. Amen? So don't be a half-hearted Christian. When your heart, your one foot is here and your one foot is there. When you're serving God, you go in 100%. God is looking for a disciple that is totally dedicated to Him. A people that totally obeys the word of God. Not selective. A half-hearted Christian is someone who is selective. They just choose the love of God and then they leave the wrath of God. Amen? The Bible says that do not be what? You are unequally yoked with unbelief. Don't know. Do you know what? Unequally yoked with unbelievers, and you still want to go and marry that gentleman that is not saved. That is a half-hearted Christian. Because they want to obey one side and they want to do their own thing. You cannot be in Christ and do your own thing. You must what? You must be broken. You must come to a place where you will do absolutely everything God asks you to do. Amen. How many of us have got to that place? I'm glad you guys are honest. But that is the place that I want to get to as well. Amen. When God tells me anything, I just say, how high? How far? When? That's the questions I'll ask. Amen? And obedience is always better than what? Sacrifice. So believers, I'm here to tell you that in this walk it's important that we give everything to God and not just what we think we want to give to God. We should be totally sold out to God in every aspect of our lives. We should sell our business to God. If you have a business, you must dedicate it to God. And ask the Holy Spirit to lead you when you're doing that business. When you're about to make any decision, you must ask God to what? To help you make that decision. Amen? Amen. And sometimes when you ask God to give it to help you, He can even not tell you, but He might bring some flashes of certain individuals in your mind. You can go to them and ask them. And God might have the answer to somebody. Sometimes God can speak to even a child to give you direction. Amen? Amen? So we must be totally broken. We must come to a place where we can say, you can't tell me what to do. I could, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of believers today, you can't tell them what to do. They will do their own thing anyway. Amen? Yeah, that's the century that we're living in. But that's not the type of Christian God is looking for. And on the judgment day, we'll be surprised who goes up and who goes down. You'll be surprised. And I'm here to tell us today that look, this thing that we are doing is not just a religious thing. It's very serious. We are talking about eternity, okay, of damnation, or eternity of relationship with God. That is what we are talking about here. So as believers, we must learn to walk in the fear of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Christians should learn to even study the wrath of God. Because if you want to know about somebody, you must also know their weakness. Sometimes when I'm dating somebody and I haven't seen their weakness, I don't commit until I see their weakness. Sometimes I want to see that bit and see whether I can tolerate that foolishness. Yeah, I say, Father, if I can, I say, God, give me the grace to tolerate this attitude. And then God gives you the grace. Amen? You must ask God to give you a grace to deal with people. Because people are different. Isn't that correct? You must ask God. You know, and that is what makes us balanced as Christians. Amen? Because we have the knowledge that everybody is different. Amen? So when you're walking and you see people, you deal with them differently. Because everybody is different. Everybody's got their highs in different areas and their lows in different areas. So you learn to walk with people. Amen? And that is called wisdom. That is called knowledge. That is called understanding. We're going to come to that. Amen? Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. It says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Now, this is the God we are talking about. Now, if God doesn't have that side of him, then he won't be saying this. Now, I'm not even reading the scripture that describes the wrath of God. Because I don't want to go there yet. But I'm saying to you that God is the one that is going to judge all of us. The same God that loves us is the one that is going to send us to hell. Isn't it the same God? So why do we think God is love, God is love, God? Yes, God is love. But if it's another side of God, that through that knowledge of knowing God, it will help us to balance our Christianity in the field. So we must worship God in fear and trembling. That's what Paul is saying. That look, don't take God for granted because of his grace. Today, the church is full of preaching of the grace of God. And people are going to go to hell because people, pastors, are not preaching the gospel, the full gospel. And we need to come to a place in the kingdom where we have a balance. Amen? Where we preach people out of hell. Not telling them what is nice so that you can get a huge church. So that you can become a celebrity. Who are you? Amen? Amen? Who do you think you are? We are here to serve the King of Kings. Amen. And if you are a pastor and you are listening to this, yes, it's true, you must teach prosperity. And I teach prosperity. Amen. But you must also teach the wrath of God. Amen. Amen? How many of you, when your children are doing bad, you don't smack them? But yet you don't smack your people in church. Amen? Do you know pastors must smack us? And we must be broken enough to accept that smack because it's good for us? Yes. We do that at home, but yet a pastor does it in church and it's a big thing. Don't we? Are we balanced? Amen? Amen. So I want us as Genesis CLF to be a church that is balanced. That understand kingdom balance. That walk in the fear of the Lord and trembling. That the reason why they did not sin is not because of anything. It's because, not even because they are shy or lacking confidence. It's because they fear God. And that is where I want to be. I want to walk with God in fear and trembling. I don't know about you. But God is going to hold us accountable for our actions, how we behave, every one of us, including me. God is going to hold me accountable for telling the truth or not telling the truth. If I come here and always preach prosperity, God is going to love you, God loves, and I don't tell you the truth, you can point to God and say, you didn't tell me the truth. on a judgment day. Because when God asks you, you can't say, Andrew didn't preach it. Amen? You can't say that, because now I'm declaring it, I'm preaching it, so that I am free. It's up to you now. You can take the word or reject it. Amen? You cannot like the messenger, but as for the message, it is from God. So God will say to you, I spoke to my servant. He didn't say, my servant said. He said, I spoke to my servant. Did you hear? And he'll show you the video. When that particular sermon was preached, he'll show you exactly what the person said, what the pastor said. Amen? Or that individual said to you. And he say, I forgot. It's too late. The door will be shut and you're out. And then you know that God, you can say, God, but I know you love me. Are you going to start to preach God about his love? God, so you don't love me. Are you going to say that to Jesus? We can't say that. It's too late. Because he has given us the opportunity now that we are on trial. Everybody, all the pastors, all of us, we are on trial. We are all on trial to make it. Amen? We're on trial. How many of you, when you are on trial in your workplace, you go and behave foolishly? Wouldn't you do your work with fear and trembling? Fear of losing your job? Amen? When you make a mistake and they correct you, are you going to shout on them? Unless you're stupid. Amen? You will be attentive and you'd want to keep your job because you've got mortgage to pay. Because how much more, God? We are on a trial. Let's remind ourselves. I am on a trial. You're on a trial. Every one of us is on a trial. So we must work out our salvation with what? With fear and trembling. And I'm going to define the fear. So fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is an awareness that you are in the presence of a holy and holy, just and mighty God. And that he would hold you accountable for your motives, your thoughts, your words, your actions, your attitude towards his word. Do we tremble at his word? Do we obey his word? Amen? Amen. So I'm going to go to the next level. We're going to talk about how to walk in the fear and develop the fear of the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say, I want to develop the fear of the Lord? I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Now, after I'm preached this, for me, I'm going to go and continue to live it. I'm going to try my best. I say, God, give me the grace. Give me the grace. I expect that you also, like you forgot last week's preaching, that you don't forget this one. Amen. That you go and you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That you ask God to give you the fear of the Lord. You ask him, because I cannot give it to you. It can only come from the King himself. Amen. God can give you that grace to fear him. To come to the knowledge of his wrath. Some people did. I haven't got to that stage yet. But let's talk about how to walk in the fear of the Lord. We must desire to live in harmony with his righteousness. With his righteous standards, and to honor him in all that we do. Ask the person next to you, do you honor God in all that you do? I leave the answer to you. You can write the answer down and then go and repent. Amen? You can write the answer down. I can't say to you as your pastor that I honor God in everything I do. I try. But I want it to be known. The ass of this man. Yeah? Everything he does is to bring honor to God. I think I do, but I'm not sure. Amen? But I have to be sure of that. And I want people to tell, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I want people to tell me, this man is honorable. He's an honorable man of God. You cannot fault him. I want, in fact, my wife to be able to say that. She hasn't said that. Then I have a lot of work to do. And I'd rather she tells me the truth so I can go in and fix up. Amen? And she has that responsibility to tell me when I'm going wrong. Some people don't like when you tell them they're going wrong. Look, if you have somebody telling you when you're going wrong, you are blessed. You have people always praising you, praising you, praising you. They are putting you to hell. You have people that tell you, look, no, don't do this. They tell you the truth. And I like people who come for the truth regardless of what you tell them. Like, brother, tell me. Amen? Regardless of what I tell him, he will come. Regardless of how hard it is and what I tell him to do, he'll come. And he won't make any decision without coming to me. Amen? For wisdom. Amen? And that is how we need to be. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? We must choose to walk in the fear of the Lord. It's a choice. Say to the person next to you, it's a choice. You must make that choice to walk in the fear of the Lord. Just like you chose to love somebody. Just like you chose to come here today. Bible says that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must make that decision by faith. Amen? Psalm 86 verse 11. Now this is how the psalmist feel. You know, I love people who fear the Lord. Amen? The psalmist, I like the psalmist. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Isn't that powerful? He said, unite my heart to fear thy name. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Psalm 86 verse 11. You can go and read and meditate on it. That is what a psalmist is preaching to us. He's telling us. That is his lifestyle. Was he a perfect man? He's not a perfect man. He's done mistakes. But he fears God. Amen. Doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect and you don't do no sin. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about what you were talking about before. That when you make a mistake, you run to God because you fear him. Amen. That type of fear doesn't take you away from God. It brings you to God. That is a rightful fear, not a demonic fear. Demonic fear pushes you away from God. Righteous fear pushes you to God. Because you don't want to lose that relationship. My children, I can say to you, they have that righteous fear. When I rebuke them, they come more to me. Because they want to restore the daddy and son relationship. They come for a hug after a rebuke. Or a smile sometimes. They come. And I say, why did they do that? And I realize that, we learn from little children. I pray that when God did, I'll go to him all the time. I'll go to God. Amen. When God disciplines me, let me go to him even more. Because I don't want to lose his presence. I don't want to lose his power. I don't want to lose his love. I don't want to lose that relationship that I have with God. Amen. Number three, we must meditate on God's awesomeness and handiwork. Like the psalmist David. You know? Psalm 8 verse 3 to 4. I wish I had more time. When I consider thy heavens, thy work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is a man? So what is man that thou art mindful of him? Amen. If you look at the creation, what God has created very valuable things. He has created diamonds. He has created gold. He has created the universe, the stars and the suns. But yet, what is man that is mindful of us? Amen. Look at the size of God. Look at what God has done. Look at the universe. It's still expanding. But just by the sound of his voice, the universe is still expanding. Amen. He said, let there be light. Amen. That's what Timmy was saying the other day. And the stars, the world, the universe is still expanding. Just by the sound of his voice. That is the kind of God we are talking about. Amen. But he's mindful of us. He loves us dearly. In spite of his bigness and everything about him, he still treasures man. Look at how patient God has been with man all these decades. Just because he wants us to repent. Sent himself to come and die for us. Suffered in hell. So that we can come back to him. And those of us who have had a privilege to come to him, we are taking him for a ride. That's why my title today is Stop Playing Games with God. Fear him. Amen? That's my title. Stop playing games with God. Let us fear God. Amen. I pray that in this church, we will walk in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
We will walk in the fear of the Lord. That the Spirit of the Lord will come upon us. That our life will not even matter. If God sends us to Iraq, we will go. If God sends us to Iran, we will go. If God sends us to Syria, we will go. Because we fear the Lord. Because we treasure His kingdom. Because we want to advance His kingdom. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's in heaven. I pray that, Father Lord, that you would help me to fear you. That you will help this congregation to fear you. In the name of Jesus. God has come to prove us that we may fear him. The children of Israel, after they were released from Egypt, like you and I were released from hell, they did not fear God. Upon all the signs and wonders that God was doing, they did not fear God. Then God appeared on a mountain. And they saw the bigness of God. You know, I don't want to go into that scripture yet. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 to 20. It says, now all the people witness the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sounds of the trumpet, the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak to us. So you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. And then Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you. So that you would what? Not. So that you may not sin. So the people stood afar. They stood afar off. But Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Amen? There's something about seeing God. There's something about God appearing to you. If God was to appear now, we would say, hello, hi, Jesus. How are you? Who would say that? There will be a fear and trembling. Because of his righteousness. Because of the holiness of God. When you come with the holiness of God, you will tremble at your feet. You will tremble before God. And that is what Paul was talking about. We must tremble before God. Amen? We must come to a place where we totally are dedicated to him. And until you fear God, when you see him, you will run away. But even if you fear God and you see him, you still run away. Because it's God is so holy, so pure. You see, you will feel so unrighteous. The more you get closer to God, the more unrighteous you feel. Because of his holiness. How many of you have seen somebody who is a superstar or a celebrity? How do you feel? You feel inadequate sometimes. You see somebody's higher than you or a boss or something, you feel inadequate. I want you to compare that to God a little bit. That will give you an idea what we are talking about here. We must respect the word of God. Say to the messenger, you must respect the word of God. Today, Christians don't respect the word of God. And because of that, we suffer for it. Look, I'm not interested in any believer that does not respect the word of God. Because it will hurt you. We must respect the word of God. When God says you must do something, you must do it. Amen. We must honor his word in our daily lives. When they say honor thy mother and thy father, you must do it. Amen. When God tells us anything through his word, we must obey the word with fear and trembling. This is my own, I'm making my scripture. We must obey the word with what? Fear and trembling when we read the word. Amen?
Amen.
Is that okay to do that?
Yeah.
Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12 to 13. It says, gather the people together, men and women and children, and a stranger that is within the gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. As long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to pass, sorry, to possess it. He said, we must learn to fear the Lord. We must learn the word of God. We must observe it in such a way that even our children will hear. Today I hear Perez and Jafar coming down. They said they prayed with mommy. I said, I was very encouraged. He said, we just finished our prayer and they were excited about what they did. Amen. You must create an environment. Amen. I hear Fernando say he was praying with his baby. His baby is hardly, how many weeks? We must create an environment. Amen. Where the word of God is evident. Where we walk in. But the thing is that sometimes we can say things to our children. But they also walk how I treat your mom. That's more important to them. They watch how I treat their mom. Amen. If I disrespect their mom, they will not listen to me again. They will start to know that this man is abusive to mommy. And guess what they're going to start to do? They're going to start rebelling against me. And they'll try to throw a fist and say, look, if you touch your mommy again, I'll beat you. It's true. So we must not just tell our children about the word. We must also what? Be an example. So anybody, I'm warning you, anybody who come and stand here and preach the word, you must leave it. Amen? And if you don't leave it, we will correct you. If you come and preach here and say everybody must submit, you must submit. Isn't that true? Eh? So if I preach something I'm not doing, you can warn me about it. Say, Pastor, but you preach about this. I'll submit because it's the word of God that I preach. Amen? So we must, this prophet must submit to what comes out of it. And I pray that no evil will come out of this prophet by the fire of God. Amen? We'll bind it before it gets here. Amen? Amen? So when you preach, you come and you stand here and you preach. You must what? Walk it and live it. That is more important than the preaching itself. And that is what I believe. And that is why I'm trying to even internalize this word myself. So that I may not be what cast away. After I've preached the good news to you, then me myself, I'm a cast. Amen? And we must be real. So just as faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, so does the fear of the Lord comes. Every time we take the word and study the word. Amen? The word should become flesh in us. That is how we grow in fearing God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 10 verse 70 says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So I really want to encourage us. I'm going to stop here. I will continue after Christmas. I want to encourage us as believers. We haven't gotten to the meat yet. This is just the beginning. But I want us to saturate the word of God in us. Let us be good students of the word. Amen. Let us not be flaky. And I believe that in this church we are not flaky. Can somebody say, I'm not flaky?
I
believe that in this church we are a people that totally are surrendered to the Lord. And I was saying to Diane that, look, even these values that we have here, we must walk by it. The people must see you and I, they must see the values through our lifestyle. Amen? They must see that we have an evangelistic lifestyle. They must see that we are a people of prayer. They must see that we submit to the Great Commission and we are soul winners. Amen? They must see that we walk in the power of God and we set people free. We set captives free. Amen? They must see the values in our lives. They must see that we are true worshippers of God. I'm not going to stand here and just recite this thing and not live by it. And I want to see that in every single one of you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Every value here, people come to this church, they must see manifested in your life to the glory of the living God. They must see the power of God working through you. They must see the fear of the Lord working through you. They must see you prosper and being fruitful. They must see you doing the gospel. Amen? Expanding the gospel, planting churches. They must see you putting God first before your own agenda. They must see you working in the house of the Lord. Today's Christians, I don't want to work in the house of the Lord. Who do you think you are? How can we have that mentality in the house of the Lord? We can't even have that mentality in our own homes. But yet we bring it to God and we give it to God. That is a hell situation, brothers and sisters. That is a hell situation. God is going to ask you, I gave you 5 talents. I gave you 6 talents. What are we going to say to him? Amen? As believers, today I'm preaching, not only to this congregation, but to all the other congregations that are going to be listening to this. Amen? So if you are here, you are a Christian. Amen? You are a Christian in your church. And you fail to do anything in the house of God. You come and you sit down and you go home. You don't want to touch anything. Who do you think you are? Today I'm asking you. Stop playing games with God. Fear the Lord and repent from your sins. Because God himself is going to judge you. I'm telling you, God is going to judge us for our behavior, our attitude. Father, Lord, I pray that your kingdom will come, that your will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Today, Lord, I pray that you will touch your church, that you will touch Genesis CLF, that you would touch all the churches in Anfield. That you would touch every congregation. Every Christian. Every Christian that is rebelling against your word today. Today, Lord, I pray that you will send your spirit to convict them, Lord.
Amen.
Convict them for the Lord. Cause them to fear you for the Lord. Oh, Father, we call upon you. We say, Lord, we want more of you, Lord. We say, Lord, we are sick and tired of mediocrity. We say that for the Lord, we are sick and tired of playing games with you. We say, Lord, we want to mean business with you again. We want you to fill us with more and more and more. In the name of Jesus, we call upon you, Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, El Shaddai, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we call upon you. We say, let your spirit convict us of our sins. But most and foremost, Lord, we also ask you for your mercies. Have mercy on us. Where we have fallen short of your glory, Lord. We say, Lord, have mercy on your church. You say you will build your church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Therefore, Lord, I rebuke any spirit that has come and bewitching your people. I said, God, today, convict your church, Lord, into righteousness, Lord. Cause them, Lord, to be filled with your spirit again. Let them return to their first love again. I call on you, Lord. I call on you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray for all your servants, all your ministers, your pastors, who are struggling, who are serving you, who are serving and struggling. Oh God, I pray for your mercy. Have mercy on your church, Lord. Have mercy on your church. Have mercy on your members. Father, today we submit ourselves to your hands. We say, Lord, you are waiting to bring people to us, but we ourselves are not ready for them. But we are saying today that we are repenting. We say we are turning away from our wicked ways.
Amen.
We are turning away from our wicked ways. We say we are walking in the spirit of humility. We are saying we are humbling ourselves from our status. Whether we work in a city, it doesn't matter anymore. whether we are the president of this nation, whether it doesn't matter anymore. We just want to serve you, Father. Whether we are a multi-billionaire, we don't care anymore. It's all about you, Father Lord. It's not about possession, not our bank account, not by our status anymore. It's about Jesus. There is no price on this earth that has been paid that is worth or bigger than the price that you pay for us. Is there any price too hard for us to pay for Christ? Father, today we call on you. We say we need you to help us. Your servants, help us. Help us to know the truth. Because your word says, ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Let truth reign in your body. Let truth reign in this church. Let truth reign in the kingdom. Let Christ 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 reign in the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you're reigning in Genesis CLF. That you're reigning in this church. That your fear of the Lord is evident. That the people in this church are not playing games with you. That they love you with all their hearts and their minds and their souls. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want us to stand. And I want us to respond to the word of God. This is not me speaking, it's God speaking to you. So it's not, you may not like me, but I don't care. It's God speaking. And God is causing us to change our ways as Christians. Our attitude towards leadership, our attitude as Christians, God is causing us to repent. And we must repent. Because otherwise God will be judging some of us. You don't want to be judged by God, brothers and sisters. I want you to pray for God to give you the grace to walk in the fear of the Lord. Father, we call upon you. We're saying to you, Father, Lord, that we know that we have fallen short of your glory. We know that we have put other things before you. Today, Lord, I call upon you. Reign on this church. Reign on this church. Reign on this church. Reign on this church. Father, we want to serve you. We want to serve you right. We want to do the right thing, Father Lord. We say, Lord, we may not know a lot, but we know a little. But the little that we know, we want to use to serve you, Lord. And we say, Father Lord, we thank you for your grace. This time we are asking you for a grace to serve you more. We are asking for a grace to love you more. We are asking for grace to walk in your fear. We are asking for the grace of wisdom. We are asking for the grace of the knowledge of God. We are asking for the grace for the spirit of understanding. We are asking for the grace for the power of God to manifest through us. We are asking for the grace for the spirit of counsel to come upon us as a children. Therefore, we stand before you and we say, Lord, it's not by might, not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, let the Spirit of God reign on your people now. Reign on them. Breathe on them, Father, Lord. Reign on them. Breathe on us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray. Father, we want to say we are sorry. And Lord, I stand also on behalf of all the ministers who have fallen short of your glory. And I apologize. I said, Lord, have mercy on your servants. But most of them never started and thought they would get to where they got to. But they've ended up there. I also pray that you preserve all the other ministers that are left. Preserve all of us, Father. Protect us. Protect every minister. Protect every pastor. Every prophet. Who the enemy is trying to touch, the enemy is trying to confuse, the enemy is trying to frustrate. I say, Lord, let a grace from the one on high, rain on your servants. Now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray that for all the pastors in this Enfield. I pray that for all the pastors in every nation, every town, every world. I say, Lord, today I speak as a servant of the Lord. Let your glory fall on your church today. But also do not let us go without knowing the fear and the wrath of God. Cause us to understand what it means to fear God. In Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Remember to subscribe to our weekly podcast and also visit us at www.genesisclf.org.